listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 22nd. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Good to be here.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now for tonight's topic. How do you manage a sad or irritable day?
Yeah, how do you manage a sad or irritable day?
That's just my question to the universe.
Well, you know, I think this is a really important discussion to have for everybody. I do. I think that here's the deal. We all have sad or irritable days. We all do. But likened to stress, you know, it's kind of when under the circumstances and how does it happen and how do we manage that. So, you know, I'd like to start with, I think there's two kinds of stress. At least I kind of boil it down to two kinds. And one is when you're faced with a situation that's stressful, that's unfamiliar, and, you know, it causes an alarm bell and you get stressed about it. And it's like a one-time thing. And, of course, you manage through that process. The other kind of stress is something that's like water dripping in your tap, and it just never ends. It's just constant stress. And then that requires some attention. You know, we're going to make decisions as we go with that stress. Sometimes it's stress outside of ourselves. Sometimes it's within ourselves, right? So we have to look at it and give attention. Sadness, I think there are legitimate reasons for sadness, first of all. I think that grief is huge. Disappointment is huge. And they're all very real emotions to cause sadness. And that could go on for a period of time. There's no measure of that. Mm-hmm. There's no measure of grief, you know. So I think that it is constant, but it's still something that has to be looked at and has to be managed. But there's another kind of sadness where just one day you wake up and you just got a lump in your throat. And you just go through your whole day with a lump in your throat and you say, what is wrong? I just feel so sad. And I think this is my kind of observation of it, experience of it, is there's an undercurrent in all of us that it builds up and builds up and builds up. And then one day it just wants to be acknowledged. It needs that kind of expression or release, like a relief valve of some kind. So it's going to be that, you know, oh, I feel sad today. How come I don't know why I'm sad. What am I sad about? I'm just, and you start looking for all these analytical reasons, and there might be one or two, but I think sometimes it's just a day where it needs to release, and likely over a prolonged period of time, and very likely too, just one little more thing can trigger it. You know, like the saying of the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's like that one extra thing where you just, man, that's it, and you just feel like you're on the verge of tears. So I'll get to irritability in a minute, because that's another category. It's one that wants to lash out. I think sadness is something that generally goes internal, at least generally. So I think that, first of all, it has to be acknowledged. And how we say, oh, I'm actually sad, and to be okay with being sad, that's huge. I'm sad. If you're trying to fight it, it's just going to build up and create something else. But it's to acknowledge that sadness. And sadness automatically causes us to feel vulnerable. And that's, again, it's like a partnership. So very often I say to people, it's not that you shouldn't talk to people about it, or you can't talk to people, but usually there's nothing to talk about. It's just, I'm feeling sad, and we're analyzing, we're talking our way through it, and yeah, you can do that and do your best to us, but you're trying to find the button that pushed it. But I think it's just an accumulation, and in that case, it's just to ride it out. You know, you just got to ride it out. Having a sad day, ride it out. Now, if that sadness goes beyond one day, I think then we're looking at something else. You know, so more of this conversation is these very temporary moments of emotion that, you know, kind of bite us when we least expect it and we're not looking. And you say, whoa, I didn't see that coming. Yeah. It's a very human thing that I think a lot of people don't talk about, is just, it does not mean mental illness. It does not mean, you know, that there's a big, enormous problem. It just means that you're human, and that's a natural part of being human, where you're riding out a sad day. Mm-hmm. It's just a sad day.
Well, excuse me, I had to mute the mic real quick for a cough. But, you know, one thing that comes to mind is, you know, traditional concepts of masculinity when it comes to that kind of, you know, sad day, right? Because, you know, for men, you're not really supposed to feel sad, you know, and you better not cry, because that means you're not manly at all. But I think let's take the stigma away from that, because just like you said earlier, Dr. Hunter, we're all human. And we all have that balance of emotion, and we all need to kind of let it out from time to time. And I think that, you know, just like you'd mentioned in the example of, you know, sadness that might creep in one day, and you don't know exactly where it came from. Well, it might have been accumulating over the past several weeks or several days or longer, you know, depending on what's been going on in your life. But don't be afraid of it. Embrace the emotion and, you know, experience it for what it's worth. But don't dwell in it at all. It's part of the balance of emotion and the balance of life.
Which is easier said than done, you know, very often. But you brought up a huge point, Michael, about when you tapped into masculinity. I'm so glad you brought that up. I think that in our society, we're told to be really strong. And whether it's male or female, and I think each gender has its own expression of strength and what that strength is supposed to look like. So if women are emotional, they're considered, you know, or sad or something, it means they're weak and not to be acknowledged in a certain way. With men, it's like, oh, what's wrong with you? You know, and that immediate kind of there's an expectation of and again, I think that a lot of people expect women to be high strung, emotional, and such, whereas they don't expect that from men. But interesting, in watching behavior, I find men very, more gregarious in many ways than women, mm-hmm. and that's okay. So there's a real contradiction, I think, that happens in behavior. But when it comes to emotion, you're absolutely right. It's that goes right to that vulnerability. Men are not supposed to be vulnerable. Women kind of expected to be vulnerable, but they don't want to be vulnerable. I think that's huge.
Absolutely. I mean, and it, because of, I don't want to get too, what's the term, freshman or sophomore college student here, but we do live in a patriarchal society, so a lot of these these things that men shouldn't be sad, you should be focused, driven, don't let your feelings get to you, all that kind of filters into how any successful person is supposed to be, right? And I think that's kind of what you were alluding to a little bit earlier as well.
Exactly.
And that's, the entire idea of it's toxic, because we are all human. We have been existing in this way for countless millennia, and it's okay to feel feelings. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that we live in a very competitive society, and to show weakness of any kind puts you in an awkward position with the world in a way, and sets us up for criticism, judgment, failure. So when we feel that, we feel like we shouldn't feel that. I think a lot of time feeling at risk of somebody to know we're sad.
Mm-hmm.
Except our very closest of friends or your very best pal or something. It's that you would confide in. But to risk anybody else knowing about that, it's very alarming. So then it's to confront ourselves. And I have heard this time and time again, I have sad days and I'm thinking I should go to my doctor and get on some medication or something. And I go, whoa. So to me, there's a list of questions before you start going on medication to not feel,
mm-hmm.
It's because that's what we're learning about, is how to feel and to balance emotion and with all the other factors. So to me, the first kind of weeding out of things is physical. Is there a physical reason for somebody to have surges of emotion or, you could be fighting a flu and feel sad, it could be that simple. Or there's the body's trying to tell you something. Maybe you're stressed. Maybe you're overworked. Maybe there's other little undercurrents going on that, you start to feel all these other stresses that create that undercurrent of emotion that sad day just kind of jumps out and, looks at you in the mirror.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, wow. So there, I think that there's a lot of reasons, but it's that physical, looking at the organics of it first. Before that, certainly for me, as I, in the work I've done with people, because the body rules, we're organic beings, and
mm-hmm.
as intellectual as we pride ourselves to be, the body runs the show. And so it's to talk with the body in different ways, or to acknowledge it in different ways. I know a lot of times I think I know what's good for my body, and I am dead wrong, right?
Well,
so
I know
finding
I
always am. Other. Well, I mean, this is why I rely on, different kinds of muscle testing to know what to take, or, I've got all these little tricks to find ways to listen to my body better. And, that's a full-time job, I must say. But it's once we kind of weed that out, then it's to say, you know what? I'm just feeling under a lot of pressure, and there's some things going on here. I thought I had control of stuff, but I'm just having a sad day.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to ride out a sad day. And you know what? I'm going to ride out a sad week.
Yeah.
Because I'm just feeling like, I got things brewing, and maybe I'll be able to nail one or two things. Maybe I'll be able to nail it. But very likely, I just need some R&R.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that can be... the key. And a question then is, what do you do with your R&R? I'm afraid that we live in a world that people generally rely on external things to entertain us. And we don't really know how to entertain ourselves. We don't know how to stimulate ourselves or have a relationship with ourselves to be able to take that R&R, you know, to be a little bit reflective. And again, I'm not talking about necessarily our students or, you know, the people in the school. That's why we're all here and learning about that. But generally speaking, the outside world, it's tough. So it's learning about the self. So that's why I say, if you can find things that during a sad day, maybe you just need a couple of naps. If you have to go to work, well, maybe you can have a couple of meditation moments, go for mm-hmm. a walk, you know, do something a little bit out of the ordinary, looking forward. This is key. Looking forward to when you get home. Looking forward to something. To really take the ride of that kind of emotion, if we can remind ourselves it's temporary, you'll take the ride much easier.
Oh, yeah. You know, the old adage, this too shall pass. It does exactly. make it easier to cope.
It does. So it's but to look forward to something. So I'm looking forward to that supper. I'm looking forward to, I don't know, have a drink of wine when you get home. Or, you know, today I'm going to do three things. I'm going to, you know, I'm home today. I'm going to change the sheets on my bed. I'm going to vacuum the living room. I'm going to do the dishes. And if I get that done today, I'm good. Because I'm going to ride out a sad day and just listen to some good music.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfectly okay thing to do. And that's what I mean. I think a lot of people don't allow themselves that unless they're out on vacation.
Well,
see, taking that R&R, that time out, being kind to yourself is left for those, oh, I'm going to go here on a weekend and I'll be time out. But we need to take a time out to be more introspective in our alone space. And I mean, I don't care if you're married, you have kids, you know, whatever your circumstance. It's being okay in your own mind. Now, for people who do have families and you have all these tasks, you know, to tend to, then it's still acknowledge the emotion, ride it out, get the tasks done, still have something to look forward to at the end of your day. You know, and again, if you can't take a couple of meditative moments or a nap, that's awesome. But it's okay, you know, I'm going to get through this. I can work through this. I can do this. And the end of today, I'm looking forward to kicking back, watching that Netflix show.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's as simple as that. So
well,
I don't know if you have anything else to add, Michael, but I think it's perfectly natural in the sad department, you know.
Absolutely. And I think that your points are excellent. And I would say, excuse me again, I would say that, you know, that's just key. The little things in life that keep us going, you know, that moment you take for yourself, that moment of meditation, looking forward to that end of the day when you get home and having a good meal, enjoying good music, you know, enjoying that chocolate chip cookie, whatever it is for you. But it's
yes.
Important to take those moments of happiness and not only to do it, but to experience it and live in that moment as well. Because the moments of our lives are not just those sad days, are not just those irritable or anxious days. The context of our life is bigger than that. We have other moments of joy, happiness, and bliss, too. We need to exist in those moments as fully as we exist in the moments of sadness or irritability.
Well, I think sadness, in some ways, is a recalibrating, emotional recalibrating.
It can be very cathartic.
I think it's so necessary.
Now,
go ahead.
I was going to say, now, did we touch on this yet? I know we talked about it, but I can't remember if it was before or during the program at this point. Kim had made an excellent point when it comes to sadness, feelings, emotions, that hormones can play a huge role in that.
Mm.
And how true is that? And that kind of brings us back to
the body.
Exactly,
yeah.
The body and mind and how intertwined they are, that the physical, the mental, the abstract, they're all intertwined into one. And thanks for joining us, by the way, Kim, and thanks for everybody joining us in the live chat. That's why we love having you. You get to bring some good ideas and some good points to this conversation.
Yeah. Irritability. Irritability. Irritability.
Yeah.
I think I spend most of my time irritable, to be honest. I think that it's not entirely true. I'm a calm irritable, I think.
Yeah.
I find a lot of things in the world irritable, but I can move through them really quickly. So I think this is the difference between a passing irritability versus that undercurrent that, you know, back to that stress of the tap dripping,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you're constantly irritable and you're angry. You know, that's, there's something way out of balance in there. And generally speaking, that's fear with nowhere to go. And that's kind of what I reduce it to. That's the root chakra, the, you know, that grounding base where action is supposed to be, you know, where we're active people, we move. But so anger isn't a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really creative energy.
Right,
the problem is
purpose.
If it's stuck and it's not imaginative,
mm-hmm.
then it turns into that seething kind of, you know, blow smoke out of your nose stuff. And I know people who are constantly contrary and irritable, and it's like, whoa, they've got some issues. And that's when I think people do really need to look at issues that make them, it's causing such unhappiness. You know, there's such a lack of joy and gratitude and, you know, a lot of things that can kind of balance out that anger or that fear. And to be more creative, it's something is stuck. But general irritability is, I think that's pretty normal. I look at the news and I go, whoa. You know, whoa.
How can you not?
And I say, and some things really irritate me, but you have to let it go. You know,
live your life too.
Yeah, it's like, whoo, there's a bigger picture here. Whew. And then get on with, I'll go do the dishes or I'm going to cook supper or something. But irritated for a minute. Now, there have been occasions, I admit, that where something occurs in life and I am irritated. Like, and I've got to sort through all the irritation. You know, it's like, why am I so irritated? How did that happen? And listen, I can justify anything. Honestly, I can say, well, somebody wasn't very smart there. And that really irritated me. But why did it irritate me? Because, you know, but it passes. You follow? And it might last a half a day or a day, you know, and I might phone my friend Jean. And thanks for being here tonight, Jean. I might phone my daughter or something and just say, whoa, I'm PO'd. And then it's gone. See? You release that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's something that allows, it's an energy that has to flow. And then generally we can laugh at it because there are so many stupid things going on in the world. And I know this is where I kind of have an odds with myself, because I am not in this lifetime a Tibetan monk sitting on the side of a mountain doing a mantra and peace be to the universe. And I think that we all do have a fire inside of us. And I think that there are these great extensions of ourselves and expressions of ourselves, and that we can acknowledge all these parts but still have a balance. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's to go back to your core and to know that that sadness doesn't define my life, that anger doesn't define my life, that that stress doesn't define my life, I do. And always be able to come back to that core center and to acknowledge all these facets. Do you see? And be okay with that, and whoever you are, what your nature is.
Right.
So I'm also trying to catch up on reading some of the chat that's going crazy here.
It's I can rant for a little bit. But
yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Well, you know, that kind of irritability, that kind of anger and stress that kind of come to play itself out, I think a lot of it can come from anxiety and fear.
Yeah.
And we kind of touched on fear earlier in the discussion too, but you know, that's a huge part of this is, you know, the fear, the anxiety that can come from any number of situations will bleed itself in and will make you more irritable. So it's just like we were talking about earlier too, to find the source of that irritability. What is driving it? What is causing it? Is it something temporary, something that we can, you know, rise above? Or is it something chronic that has been simmering that needs to be addressed? And it's that fear and anxiety that plays such a critical role in those kind of irritability days too. But with coping mechanism, like laughter, an excellent one, we can find our way through this. It's the balance of emotions. Laughter takes that big kind of anxiety monster and it pokes a hole in it, shrinks it down, lets all the air out, and you realize it's not nearly what you thought it was.
And I love that.
It's essential.
Yeah. Audra said that very thing in the chat, Michael. I get so annoyed when people are willfully ignorant. I can't speak, but laughing helps, and that's exactly what you're saying there.
I mean, you can either be driven mad by the absurdity of life, or you can laugh at it and enjoy the ride as best you can, because life is absurd, and make no mistake. Life has always been absurd. And never in human history has life not been utterly absurd, filled with willfully ignorant people. So don't think this is something that we're just going through now. It's just that we have more enlightened people now than I think we ever have before. So there's more of a group of us that are looking around going, what is going on around here? But
yeah. You know, Kim said in the chat too, my new mantra when I get irritated or feel I'm being dragged into drama, especially at work, I stop and say to myself, let me put my blinker on and get back in my lane.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah. I appreciate that very much, Kim. That's, you know, and we do. We have to get back in our lane, be who we are, set that example, you know, and keep moving forward. Audra also said, people always say I'm so happy, and I say, if I wasn't laughing, I'd be crying, and then they laugh, and it's pretty nice all around. But it's true. Laughter is that other, you know, expression that can compensate for a lot of things.
Sure, but, sometimes it's nice to have a good cry. I mean, not that I ever have, and not that I've ever shown weakness in any kind of form.
Of course not.
But I'm talking for, lesser people. But, no, of course.
Well, you know, Dr. Edwards talking about coping mechanisms, and he said he had an aunt who used divine order to center herself when confronted by a challenge. It brought her peace and clarity. Finding a coping mechanism that's positive and works, use it regularly when needed. And I appreciate that too, Edward. It's we all have our ways of managing through things. And I think what's so necessary, contrary to Michael, of course, it's so necessary to know that it's human to get stressed, to feel sad. I'm teasing you.
Of course. I mean, that's feeling stressed, feeling sad. That's my lane. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Well, again, we can laugh about it, but if finding those tools, and that's part of the discussion tonight. And sometimes it is a coping mechanism because some things are bigger than us. And that's a huge part for me in my journey is to know I have no control over that. You know, I need to know about it, but I have no control over it. So I find a way to cope with knowing that, but getting, as I love that, get in my own lane and, and go through life. And there's other times, too, that, for no particular reason, I just had a sad day. I don't know. It just needed to come out. So I allow myself that sad day. I don't want to fight it. That's denying who I am. It doesn't mean it runs my day. It means I ride it. and there's a distinction, and I'd like to kind of make that clear, is I can still function. But it's that, and I think everybody knows what I'm talking about, where you have that lump in your throat. You're on the verge of tears, but you're not there. And then if it needs to vent louder, then have a good cry. And or a little cry for that matter. And sometimes go chop some onions and cry and say, oh, you know, if somebody catches you, say, oh, I was chopping onions. And allow yourself that release of it, but it's still in balance. And that's what I call the ride. So it doesn't control you. It doesn't take over and bite you in the butt. So
absolutely.
Just trying to catch up in the chat here again. Anything that you pick out in the chat, Michael, you want to mention?
No, I think we got a lot of the good mentions. And let's see. I will say this while we're looking through for some good talking points and some good comments. Don't forget, pretty soon here we're going to be drawing cards, so we'll just throw it out there that if you're interested, if you'd like a card pulled, make sure to throw your name in chat. We'll definitely get to it. But, Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that very same thing about drawing cards. Again, the point of this discussion tonight is to acknowledge ways of managing sadness and irritability as really relevant expressions of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that knowing the distinction in yourself between something that's chronic, that needs attention, versus something that just surfaces for a moment. And when you determine that for yourself, like, okay, you know what, this sadness has gone on way too long, I need to really look at this and make a change. You know, or I need to talk to somebody about it, and I need to maybe look at my organics, look at what I'm eating, look at what I'm doing, am I too stressed, and be able to then you're in better management of it, versus something that just pops up and you got to deal with it. It's like, whew, that feels better. Wow, what was that all about? You know, and you don't know, and it doesn't matter that you know. So the same with irritability. It's normal to feel irritable. The day I stop getting irritable is I know that I'm numb.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. And things don't bother me at all. I know that, ooh, I'm in trouble. Because I'm pretty passionate, but I'm also, I like to believe calm, you know, centered calm in knowing who I am and what I am capable of doing. So, but it doesn't mean I don't get PO'd. I certainly do. And I think that that's all part of the normal experience. The difference being, the older you get, there's fewer things that irritate you. You know, it's like what irritated me 10 years ago means nothing to me now.
Yeah.
You spill milk, I shrug and walk away and say, cool.
Well, as long as somebody cleans up that milk, it might start smelling after a little while.
Oh, yeah, that's why I walk away.
That's going to make you very, very irritable.
Let's draw some cards, shall we, Michael? I believe we have Edward up first. So I'm going to write down some names here.
All right.
And you go for it, and I've got my cards on hand here, too.
All right, so starting with the In Oracle cards, I pulled wild card number one, Paradox, my personal favorite.
I do like it, too.
A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
Well, I really like that I got the Judgment card in the tarot in support of Paradox, Edward. And I like it because it's always about declaring yourself, announcing something, or even when something is announced to you. So I get the feeling here, something you didn't expect, or even, you know, wow, you said that and you didn't expect that to come out of your mouth. Something unexpected actually goes in your favor. So I'd say This is one of those, I like that, ride it out and just go by your intuition, go by your self-certainty, and just let things unfold in a really interesting way. So I think that's really interesting. It's piqued my curiosity for you.
Oh.
Gene, sorry, we got Gene next. Michael, what have you got?
All right, and for Gene, I have number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit. All right. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
Well, Gene, two cards came out in support of the indomitable power of the spirit. One is the Six of Swords, Six of Spades, and the Hermit. And what I appreciate about that is that you can see a destination, you can see a goal. It's not easy necessarily to get there. But the power of your spirit and your determination, along with the insight of the Hermit, will get you there, will get you to the outcome, get you to your goal. So I like it that the Hermit showed up with that Six of Spades. And it's, you're on the right path. It may feel a little turbulent for a minute, but it's right there what you want, and it won't be long before you get there. So keep going. I love it.
All right.
So I hope that makes sense anyway. So now,
all right, I believe we have Nina next, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, do we? Okay.
All right. And I pulled number 38, open-mindedness.
Okay.
An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs the knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
Well, what's really fast again, and I just go with it when this happens, two flipped out, and the Two of Spades and the Two of Clubs. So, Nina, here's what I think this whole picture is telling you. You might feel like you're at a crossroads of some kind. You're not really sure which direction to take or what decision to make. And the Two of Spades, Two of Swords, to me, I call it one of the back cards. It relies on intuition. So you might feel a little bit inner conflict, but, you know, it's like, what does your intuition tell you? The Two of Clubs is looking into the future. So sometimes, I think the message here is sometimes we don't look at the immediacy of the answer, but we look at, you know, the future that the answer can bring us. So I think that's a clue there for you, and whatever is going on right now, and being really open-minded to that. I hope that helps. I hope that makes sense to you, Nina.
Very nice.
So, yeah.
All right. And we have, I was going to say, we have Dr. Shirley up next, I believe.
Okay. All right.
All right. And I pulled number 11, awareness.
Okay.
Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Hi, Shirley. I got the Five of Spades here, and it's saying to me, I see it as one of the victory symbols, you know, where there could have been some stress, some conflict around, but I feel like that's, it's like settling down. And you might not feel settled inside, but I feel like the energy around is beginning to settle. So it's like just a perhaps a little nudge toward taking a meditative moment, take inventory, and just knowing that everything's okay, like it's okay now. And if you need other solutions, I feel like they're right there at your fingertips. So it's just a kind of a corrective moment in perspective, perhaps. So just opening that awareness, and again, that five of spades, I like it. So I hope that makes sense to you.
All right.
I think we have Wendy next, do we?
I believe you're correct.
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
Wendy. I have number 43, expediency.
Mm.
I don't think I've gotten this one in a while.
No.
Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Well, Wendy, in support of that, I got the strength of the Major Arcana. I like it that next to expediency, I think it's saying be really intuitive about when to move forward and when not to. And it's know that you have the strength to endure things. So my instinct says to me, my intuition says it might not be this moment that you make a decision, but when you do, when things are going to happen, it's going to move really fast, and that's the expediency of it. So you do absolutely have the energy and the strength to do that. So now is the moment where you just wait. Like, okay, you just said that you made a decision on the sale of your house. That's great. And so now it's a waiting thing. So just wait it out. You have the strength for that, and everything's going to go very well. Excellent.
All right.
Now, I think if I have this right, Kim is the last one in our chat. Is she? Because
I have Kim and Audra.
This multitasking. Kim and Audra. Okay, we're good.
And
all right,
Kim. Anybody else would like a card and we haven't gotten to yet, and your name isn't Kim or Audra, throw your name in the chat real quick, and we'll make sure we grab them before we wrap up. But all right, Kim, let's see. We have number 4, past, present, and future. Let's see. Past, present, and future. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Well, in the Rider-Waite deck, which I use, there's a beautiful rainbow in the Ten of Hearts. Ten of Cups. And generally speaking, it's celebrating the moment, you know, celebrating what is present, what is here now. So a reflective moment to past, gathering your force in the moment and looking to the future optimistically. Kim, I feel like you're on the precipice of another shift, and I get kind of excited to think that I know this is going to sound so cliche, but the rain is over, you know, and the rainbow is coming out. So you've worked really hard to get to here, and it's going to start to, you know, pay off for you. So hang in there, hang in. So you're doing good. I hope it makes sense. Audra, we are not going to miss you, she says in the chat. You know, if you don't have time. No.
Of course we have time.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. And I pulled number 21, insight and wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
Well, I pulled the High Priestess for you on that one, Audra. And I went, whew. What I want to say is there's a difference between our instincts. You know, we have an autosensory perception and an intuition. And when they're both active, it's a really powerful tool for gauging situations, gauging insight into people, situations, you know, your life at large, and knowing how to navigate forward. So it's like both that combination of, you know, assessing an environment and intuitively knowing what can come of that gives you a really interesting skill. And I think you'll be using a lot of that in the next little while. I would like to say, though, I think that you've expanded in, and we all go through these processes where our intuition expands and it changes. And, boy, that's a good show for next week, Michael. Mm. It is, because it's like your intuition is making another shift. As you grow and change, so does your intuitive insight. So, Audra, I think you're in the, again, I like that word precipice. It's like you're right on the verge of something that is opening up for you inside yourself that you'll be able to, I don't know, play chess with the world and do really well. And of course, your intentions are good, so you've got this. Now, Audra just wrote that, could we do one for her friend Ace, who's listening with her? I don't mind at all. Are you okay with that, Michael?
Oh, I guess. I mean, sure. Of course, I actually already pulled one. As a matter of fact,
good.
Yeah.
Good. Let's go. What have you got for Ace?
All right, for Ace. Let's see. I have number 24, Truth. There, and this one reads, there are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
Well, I love the name Ace. It's a great name, by the way. In support of the truth symbol, Ace, I pulled out the Five of Pentacles, Five of Diamonds. And in this situation, I feel like maybe this is saying the past is pulling you a little bit. You're moving forward, but the past is maybe pulling you back, or there's something in the past that needs to, wants to be looked at. Or, and sometimes it can be people. People don't like us to change, right? Where they say, oh, I'm really happy for you, but, like, what about me? You know? And so I'm just feeling that there's something in the past where somebody's trying to follow you, or, and I don't mean, like, stalking. The energy is following you. And so I'm saying, recognize the truth of something. Be okay with that, your own nature, and move forward. And, you know, just create a white light around yourself and a white light in your direction. Project that forward, and you're creating a new pathway for yourself. So I want to say keep going. You know, keep going. Yeah.
Very good.
Okay. Well,
all right.
Nice to have you. It's nice to have you here too, Ace, by the way.
Yeah, it's always good to get more people, you know, listening. And, you know, we hope that you've been able to take something away from this. We hope that all of you have. I can tell you personally, I have been able to take away a lot from this discussion tonight. So as I've joked before, you were all, you know, participants in my active therapy sessions. And thank you for all listening on. And, you know, tonight... it's been a great discussion. Dr. Hunter, do you have any last thoughts?
No, I'm looking forward to next week's show. We're going to talk about expanding, changing intuition.
I think that's going to be a great discussion.
As we grow. So thanks very much for everybody participating and being here. I know Wendy says this is a highlight of her week. Well, highlight of mine too.
Absolutely. Same here.
I'm so glad to see you all. So thanks very much.
Absolutely. Thank you all for joining us tonight. It's been a fascinating discussion. We've, you know, really kind of covered a lot of ground, and it has gone fast. We discussed how to cope and manage sad, irritable, or even anxious days. We talked about our emotions, how to experience them, to live, you know, to allow ourselves to feel them in a balanced and healthy way. We talked about the link between the body and mind, the power of laughter, and we had another great discussion, so thank you all for joining us. I look forward to you all joining us next week, and until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.